Welcome to the Core Principles Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll enjoy this lively discussion of relevant topics, which we attempt to examine through the lens of unchanging, objective truth. Here is the host of the Core Principles Podcast, Clay Howerton.
Thank you, Suzanne. This is an episode about love. This is also an episode about truth. And it's important to remember always that love and truth are never at odds. In fact, love and truth are equivalent. I mean that like it sounds, like it is. Love and truth are, in fact, mathematically equivalent. Here's proof of that important fact that we always need to remember. You know from algebra that if A equals B and A equals C, then B also equals C. Well, let A represent God, let B represent love, and let C represent truth. In fact, we know from God's holy word, the Bible, that God is love. A equals B. See 1 John 4, 7, and 8 for proof of this. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And we also know that God is truth. You see John 14, 6 for this. Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Well, so God equals love. God equals truth. Therefore, love equals truth, and truth equals love. But Clay, some might respond, Jesus' statement about how no one comes to the Father except through him seems pretty exclusive. Shouldn't love and truth be inclusive? Aren't we now being taught to measure inclusivity as a good thing and a required thing for businesses and schools and such? Well, indeed, the secular world is pushing inclusion as an absolute good, regardless of other considerations. But Jesus is holy, and we are not holy. Jesus is perfect, and we are not perfect. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," says Paul in Romans 3:23. And because all of us have sinned, we are of ourselves separated from God, who cannot abide sin. But God wants us to be restored to him for his glory. And so he took on the form of man as Jesus, showed us how to live properly, and sacrificed everything to pay our debt and restore us to himself. We can only have that if we accept it. And then we should certainly live according to who we are in the Lord. So I've already introduced several of the concepts that will guide this episode. God is love. God is truth. Love and truth are always compatible and never at odds. Every single one of us is less than holy, and we all need salvation. Jesus provides us that salvation if we accept it and follow him. Now, I hope those concepts will resonate as I talk about the topic of this episode, because without those truths resonating, listeners would likely get the wrong ideas about my message in this episode. So again, today's episode is a message of love and of truth. It is June as I record this, and in America, June has been hijacked as so-called Pride Month. I wonder if people ask, pride in what? I wonder if people reflect that there can be appropriate and horribly wrong pride. Consider, for an appropriate example, the person of Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we read this. "So the Lord established the kingdom in his control, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. He took great pride in the ways of the Lord, and again removed the high places and the Asherim from Judah." Well, there we see that Jehoshaphat didn't have pride in himself, in spite of great tributes, riches, and honor given to him by all the people. Instead, Jehoshaphat had appropriate pride in the ways of the Lord. But more often, pride is a manifestation of sinful nature and goes before a fall. Consider what David wrote in Psalm 31. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. Now that's a far more typical way that we see pride manifest. And that is obviously to be avoided, not celebrated. But in June in America now, Pride Month is explicitly about celebrating people's rejection of God's love and truth. Does that sound harsh? It is intended only to highlight reality and truth. Thus, it is a statement made in the spirit of love. Here is something Jesus said about what love means, and it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus. If you love me, then you will keep my commandments. That's pretty simple to understand. Love includes obeying God. And what does God command relative to the things being pridefully celebrated in these modern times? We should know this, because if we are actually showing love, then we will try to obey what God commands. I say try because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. Jesus said this directly and unambiguously, if we love, we will obey God. And Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew chapter 5, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Therefore, we can look at the law, as recorded in the scriptures, and know what Jesus was telling us we will obey if we love. And here are some relevant parts of the scriptures regarding Pride Month. Number one, God made exactly and only two genders, which are not swappable or changeable. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Number two, God established marriage as husband plus wife, and no government contract can ever be similar to actual matrimony established by God. Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Number three, God forbids all sexual acts contrary to that which he established as part of the husband and wife relationship, which includes that God forbids adultery, incest, homosexual acts, bestiality, pedophilia, rape, and all other sexual misconduct contrary to his nature. Part of this is found in Leviticus 18:22. You, men of Israel, and all men, shall not lie with a male as with a woman, because that is an abomination. And the restrictions against the incest and the adultery and the bestiality and the rest of those are all listed there in the scriptures as well. We know these things, and God has written them on our heart, as Jeremiah foretold that he would. And these restrictions are amplified in the New Testament as well. In fact, Jesus himself reminds people of these unchanging truths. In Mark chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 14, for example, Jesus says this, have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And for this reason a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife? But Clay, some may protest, the old Mosaic law also forbade things like eating shellfish and mixing certain fabrics. Surely those are not still applicable. Well, anyone who protests in that manner is obviously trying to escape truth and is therefore acting contrary to love. Consider that we know in our hearts what God intends, but some have rationalized wrong for so long that they have hardened their hearts. But to compare the restrictions on food and clothing to the restrictions on things like murder, theft, lying, and any of the sexual sins is to improperly conflate things that were prohibited for some practical reason and things that were declared contrary to the very nature of God. The Mosaic Law contained both kinds of things, categorized as malum prohibitum and malum in se. The practical prohibitions regarding food and clothing, for example, could be lifted without any change to God's nature, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God did, in fact, remove some of the practical prohibitions without changing his nature. But the actions which are of themselves contrary to God's nature, including things like murder, theft, lying, and all the sexual sins, never change. Jesus upheld them and told us, if we love, then we will obey them. So whenever Pride Month celebrators say things like, love wins, they are missing the truth of that true statement badly. Love does indeed win because God is love. And love includes obeying God by avoiding all the actions he prohibited. Taking pride in violating God's law is anti-love. It is hateful against God. I remind you, this is a message of love. And love is truth. And love includes obeying God. But suppose someone countered, Clay, you seem to be singling out the folks who celebrate Pride Month. Everybody sins, so why focus on the sins related to Pride Month? That would be a fair question, and would very obviously reveal a deliberate or unintentional missing of the point. Yes. Everybody sins. But no, we don't have a month celebrating kleptomaniacs. We don't have a month celebrating addicts. I use those two other examples to also highlight an important distinction. Please listen carefully. States of being are not moral or ethical considerations. Actions are. The state of being homosexual is not the moral or ethical matter. Violating God's commands about sexual activity is a moral, ethical matter. The state of being a kleptomaniac is not a moral or ethical matter. Violating God's command to not steal is a moral, ethical matter. The state of being an alcoholic or drug addict is not a moral or ethical matter. But abusing mind-altering substances is a moral ethical matter. This is a very important truth, and it's even more important because when people try to justify their declarations that God must have been either wrong or irrelevant when he forbade homosexual activity, they typically try to say homosexuals are just born that way, it's who they are. Well, who anyone is, that is not a moral or ethical matter. But what one does, that is a moral, ethical matter. What one does is a matter of free will, moral, ethical choice. And in the specific case of sexual activity, that is always either a choice or it is rape. Now consider the state of being known as alcoholism. That's not a moral choice, that's a state of being. Medical science categorizes it as a disease. But abusing the mind-altering substance alcohol is a choice. And alcoholics have a struggle because they are predisposed to abuse alcohol. We should love alcoholics just like we should love homosexuals, and we should love kleptomaniacs, and we should love violent people, and we should love profane people, and we should love everyone, love everyone, love everyone. What do we do when we love, for an example, an alcoholic? We probably encourage them to refrain from abusing alcohol. That is loving. That is not the kind of judgmentalism that we certainly want to avoid. Instead, it's an expression of love. Similarly, if we love a kleptomaniac, then we should still tell them stealing is forbidden by God. That is truth, and that is therefore love. And so we see direct analogies between things like alcoholism, homosexuality, and kleptomania. All of these may be mere states of being, and thus, in that regard, not moral matters. But any of those actions, abusing mind-altering substances, engaging in forbidden sexual activity, or stealing things, any and all of those are moral matters. God has forbidden those actions. But there are also differences, as I pointed out. We don't celebrate Addict Pride Month, nor Kleptomaniac Pride Month, nor should we. Pride in one's own self is misguided, as we highlighted earlier. But the current Pride Month, celebrating the forbidden actions that God very plainly declared wrong, that should be a troubling matter for everyone who loves God. The difference I'm highlighting here can best be summarized as a difference between repentance and indulgence. Consider how the Lord Jesus began his earthly ministry. Look at the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew for one account of the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. This is before he had recruited his disciples. Here's what Matthew simply states about the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The very first word documented from Jesus' ministry is repent. That must make the word repent very, very important to all of us. What does it mean? Repent means to turn away, specifically to turn away from sin. Everyone sins and falls short of the glory of God. When we sin, we can do one of two things in reaction, even if we are already saved by Jesus and therefore declared not guilty by God. The two choices we have are to repent or to indulge. And those are polar opposites. To repent of our sins, we acknowledge that we are wrong and that God forbids the action we did. And we turn away from that wrong action back towards God. If we instead indulge the sin, then we are hating God by declaring him either wrong or irrelevant for having declared our action wrong. People who indulge rather than repent from sin are demonstrably not living in relationship with God, but God still loves everyone and still wants everyone to repent and follow him. So much so that he stated that plainly and first in his ministry on earth. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This applies to Pride Month because Pride Month is 100% about indulgence. Pride Month is an ongoing public declaration of hatred against God according to what Jesus told us, "If you love me, then you will obey my commands." This is a message of love. Love wins over hatred. Repent. God is love, and God is truth. Now, even though it's uncomfortable, I'm compelled to address a growing trend related to those who celebrate pride in denouncing God as either wrong or irrelevant, as we've been discussing. The trend is to push matters related to sexuality on younger and younger children. That must stop. Time after time, we're seeing trusted agents called teachers proudly boasting about how they are indoctrinating their students about sexual matters. Some would call such indoctrination grooming, and that is a valid description. You've probably seen the disgusting videos that these lecherous pedophiles post themselves, bragging about how they've gotten so many of their preteen students to declare that they are of some particular sexual orientation or gender other than their biological reality. Those young children didn't think of those things on their own. They were groomed into it by the teachers, who are then bragging about it. In the first part of 2022, including the spring semester, but not the fall semester of 2022, at least 269 K-12 educators, teachers, were arrested for child sex crimes, including rapes. Jesus addressed this problem during his ministry. See Luke chapter 17 for an example. Jesus was talking to his disciples about children, and Jesus said to the disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin." And by the way, listeners, the very next words Jesus spoke to his disciples in that same lesson were these: "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins," Jesus said, "rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." There is so much in those words of Jesus, of course, all relevant to this topic. Number one, leading children astray, as prideful teachers are doing, is so evil that the punishment Jesus prescribes is going to be worse than having a millstone around the neck and being cast into the sea. Two, we should rebuke sinful behavior and encourage one another to repent. That is not forbidden judgmentalism. It is love. We should never claim any self-righteousness. We have no self-righteousness. We also have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the only righteousness we might point them to is the righteousness of the Lord. And in so doing, Jesus says, rebuke sinful behavior. And third, forgiveness follows repentance. God can and will forgive us for any and all of our sins. He paid the price. We just have to accept it. But we must repent, or we're not really accepting it at all. Well, there's one last concept I want to highlight in this message of love, and that concept is equality. Equality is a great thing. We should all uphold equality as a desired goal. And to do that, we must know and understand what equality actually is and how it's possible. Here's what equality really is in its most important way. We are all equal because we are all equally under the same singular authority who is the creator and lawgiver. All of God's laws apply equally to all of us. That is equality. And the fact that there is a singular authority above all of us is the only way equality can exist, truly. This has been a message of love. Let us love one another because love is of God and God is love. Have a blessed day.
Core Principles Podcast is produced in Paducah, Kentucky by Real Productions. Music is by Late July, L-E-I-G-H-T July. You can find our music on all streaming services or at latejuly.com. Thank you for joining us today for this episode of the Core Principles Podcast. Please visit core.buzzsprout.com for more information. And please share with your friends. We look forward to visiting with you again on our next episode.